You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers from the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one daily local sports podcast network. I am Chris Manning, your host and the site manager over at fearthesword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. If you aren't already, you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. A five-star review, especially on Apple Podcasts, is the best way to support the show. And you can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWM Writes. On today's show for Sunday, February 3rd, we are going into the good and the bad of the Cavs' loss to the Dallas Mavericks on Saturday. That is a 111-98 loss that snaps Cleveland's two-game winning streak. And if they would have won, that would have been their first three-game winning streak of the season. We also are going to talk about Luka Doncic, who was by far the best player on the floor in this game for the Dallas Mavericks and overall, and the transformative player and power of having a guy like that. If you're keeping track of draft odds at home, the Cavs are now going to be third there, so they're still in the top three, still one of the three teams with the even odds of getting a top four pick and a number one overall pick. That is where they are at currently after this loss at 11-42, a half game behind the 11-43 Phoenix Suns and behind the 10-41 New York Knicks. Okay, first up, the good. We're going to focus on the good. The Cavs actually were ahead in this game for stretches, went on an amazing run in the second quarter when Doncic was on the bench to really get back in this game and take control of this game for a little bit, and then it unraveled a bit in the second half. The first big good thing for me in this game is that David Nwaba returned. Nwaba missed 18 games with that ankle sprain, kept him out for a long time, and the Cavs really, really missed him. Nwaba is someone I love, a guy who on this team I think is just really useful, a skill set that I think is really, really useful, and I think you saw why in this game. 15 minutes for him was about the max he was going to be able to play, which isn't great, but he's talked a little bit post-game about being stiff, feeling a little bit sore. He's going to take some time to get all the way back physically after being out for that long, even though he's practiced of late. Here's his stat line for the night. 12 points, 5-6 from the field, 2-4 from the free throw line, had 4 rebounds, 2 on the offensive end, had a steal and an assist, did pick up 3 fouls, picked up a foul when he guarded Luka in this game. But overall, you saw the positive effects of having Nwaba on the floor. He can guard bigger guys, so guys like Alec Burks and Jetty Osman don't have to. He does a really good job cutting and getting some shots inside. He's a decent foul drawer for a guy who his offensive skill set isn't all that expansive or creative. He's a very good defender. He will cut really well. He does all the little stuff the Cavs need him to do. They need a guy, as Larry Drew put it post-game, to do stuff because they don't have anyone else to really do that. Big David Nwaba fan. Glad he's back. He's only going to help them get better. I'm curious to see if/when he does end up starting again, when he can play more minutes, and what his role will look like when Kevin Love is back, because we didn't really see them play together. We don't have any data on that. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets approached moving forward, but I do think Nwaba needs to keep playing as the Cavs keep on going this season. Next up, Larry Nance Jr. looked really good. You'll hear at the end of this segment him talking about getting Dirk's jersey after this game, which is really, really cool. He got it signed. Just a cool moment for Larry Nance. But Nance looked good. Maybe a bit too many minutes for him coming as he continues to get back in shape from that injury. But 28 minutes, 4-6 from the field, 3-5 from the line, had 12 boards, 3 on the offensive end, 9 on the defensive end, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Nance was active. He was engaged on the defensive end. He was pushing the ball and trying to make plays. You would have liked to see him maybe take a 3 in one or two instances, but it seems like that has cooled off for him in terms of being there. He was much better than Ante Zizic in this game, I thought, and just a good bench production from Nance. Kept the ball moving, kept things organized in a way that shows you he has the head to kind of help in that way. I like that we continue to see some sets from the Cavs. where Jordan Clarkson is coming off the ball. He's not just attacking in a spread pick and roll or attacking in terms of isolation. The one I really do like the best is where it's him and Dele as a duo. Dele brings the ball up. Clarkson goes to the right corner, whatever side of the floor he's on, and he cuts back towards the rim. They got it on the maps twice in this game. Once was a kickball, once I believe was a basket. I like that they're doing that with Clarkson to limit some of his bad tendencies. The Cavs actually took really good care of the ball. 20 assists in that for them in this game against 6 turnovers. Only 5 in the second half, which isn't great, but a good first half. And there's a clip you can find where Rodney Hood threw a wicked bounce pass that really stood out as maybe the best assist of the night. Turnover percentage of 6.4% according to Cleaning the Glass, and that was in the 90th percentile for the year among all teams. So really good job by the Cavs to actually take care of the ball and actually get a good number of assists. Really, really cool also to see how the Cavs saluted Dirk as he came in and out of the game. This is a crowd that paid homage to Dirk, one of the legends of the game, in what is likely his last game in Cleveland. Also really cool to see the very large Slovenian population of Cleveland get into Luka. The Greek population here did that for Giannis as well, but cool to see it for Luka and the Slovenian population in Cleveland. Love that. And lastly, Jetty Osman, to his credit, I thought was playing well before he did leave with an injury. 5-9 from the field. Didn't make a 3, but had 3 assists. All really nice assists. Did as good of a job as you could hope on Luka. We'll talk more about that injury after the break. But not a bad night for Jetty overall. Not in totally lost night for him. And look, not an overall lost night for the Cavs. There's a lot to be concerned about, a lot to kind of shake your head at, especially with Colin Sexton in this game. But they were competitive. They gave up 40 points in the first quarter, really batting down the hatches, especially when Luka sat in the second quarter to only give up 18 points. Are competitive going into the second half. Are competitive, really, it got out of hand a little bit in the third, but then more so in the fourth when they get down by 13 or so. They went on that nice long run again when Lucas had took advantage of the opposing team's best player and the guy dictating the flow of that team being on the bench, and they couldn't hold on all the way. I think Kevin would really help with that. I think Tristan would really help with that. But good effort by these guys to at least not be totally destroyed. And I do think you are seeing a group that, while it is limited, while it is certainly not a good group, I think they are showing some improvements and getting a little better as we go along. And special shout out as well to Dang Adele, Jerron Blossom Game, and Kobe Simmons, all who started for the Canton Charge earlier this afternoon on February 2nd at the queue against the Windy City Bulls, and then played not a ton. Kobe and Jerron only played 2 minutes. Dang Adele played 14, but those guys did play technically in 2 games today, which is kind of wild. We're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear Larry Nance Jr. talk about getting Dirk's jersey, and then we're going to be back to get into the bad of the game with a special focus on Jetty's ankle and what we know about that injury. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavaliers.
Jersey you got back there.
I'm sorry?
Is that Dirk's jersey back
yeah,
there?
Yeah, it's Dirk's jersey.
Is it kind of what Paul George and Dwayne Wade did the other night?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I if you play against that guy and you're not a fan, you're lying. So
yeah.
I just, went back there and told him, how big of a fan I was and how incredible it is, the things he's done for the game of basketball, worldwide and I think it's just a very cool sign of respect, and so this is getting framed immediately.
Yeah.
Was it kind of neat? I mean, the crowd, clapped every time he came in the game. Was that,
they should. And he's not one of those guys that's going to be asking for that, but he should get a head nod and tip of the hat to every arena he goes to, because he's that good, and he deserves it.
I'm surprised you didn't have to fight off some other teammates for that.
Oh, I got to it quick. I got an inside man. I can't reveal my source.
And we are back. And there you heard again Larry Nance Jr. talking about getting Dirk's jersey after the Cavs played Dallas on Saturday. Okay, so let's start with Jetty's ankle. You'll hear what Larry Drew said verbatim post-game about that ankle injury. I don't think it's serious. If you missed the game and are just listening to this now, Jetty in the first half, about 9 minutes left in the second quarter, came down weird after getting an offensive rebound. He looked like he limped, and then a timeout's called. You saw him stand up off the bench, walk around. He went back into the game for a little bit, but then came out, left, went back to the locker room, was not with the team when they came out for the third quarter. Around that time, the Cavs announced that he would not return to the game due to a right ankle sprain, or right ankle injury, rather. They haven't specified exactly what it is or how serious it is at this time. And he was not available post-game. So we don't really know exactly what's up there, but a bummer for Jetty to suffer this injury. He's playing really well. He's playing very assertive basketball right now. The best basketball over the last few games, as we detailed in the preview for this game on this show, that he's played since the beginning of the season. And look, I'm just really impressed with how good he's been. The Cavs have to be thrilled with how much progress he's really made and how much he's just improved of late. This ankle injury is just a bummer, and it's telling of this Cavs season to some degree. One of the big stories is just how many injuries they've had. When you get David Nwaba back and then you lose Jetty, it's just another key piece going down, and that's tough to swallow. So we will see when Jetty is going to be back, if he's going to be available Tuesday. And then their next practice is going to be on Monday before they play Boston on Tuesday. So if you're looking for a Jetty update, Monday would be the day for that at the earliest. I doubt we'll get anything on Sunday. So Colin Sexton is the other thing that really stands out as a negative in this game. Colin Sexton's stat line is a lot. So 4-17 from the field, 1-3 from three. He does go 4-4 from the line, which was good, but 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover, 13 points. Not a good Colin Sexton game. I think in this game, you sort of saw some of the issues he kind of really has right now. I think when you're looking at, to me, and I wrote about this in the 2-for-1, which you can go read if you're the sword right now. I think he has issues that we're just not going to be able to really move past, I think, until he gets to next season and gets a summer to work on his body and work on his game. Colin Sexton has skill. He has speed. He actually is, I think, has a good knack for, you know, finishing at the rim and trying to make the right plays and stuff like that. And even if you look at his shot chart in this game, I don't think it's a bad shot chart. I have it up now. When you look at where he's shooting, you know, there's 3 mid-range shots, there's 3 threes, and then there's a lot of shots at the rim. He has it's a short mid-range shot technically, but it's not a bad shot that he missed on the right baseline. This wasn't even a game where I thought he was chucking up bad shots. He just missed a lot of them. And I think you're seeing that because he's not great finishing through contact, finishing with strength at the rim. For this many drives, he should be getting to line more, I think, with how many, you know, repeated drives he's having at the rim there with, you know, the vast, vast majority of his shots being there. With 17 shots and 11 of them being in the rim, 4 free throws or 2 attempts going to the line probably isn't enough. All things considered, some of that I think is his strength. Some of it is, you know, the spacing on the Cavs isn't doing him any favors, but he just has these limitations on offense right now. The circumstances don't help him. I think Kevin Love will help him. And defensively, he just has a lot of, you know, a lot of rookie point guard issues right now. The one play that really stood out to me in real time, he was guarding Devin Harris, who's a vet, who's been around a long time. And he sagged off Harris at one point, with Harris being on the right wing. Harris just cut and Sexton sagged off him just enough to catch a pass as Harris was moving towards the rim. By the time Harris cut and by the time Sexton realized that he cut, he was already off guard and reacted too late. And Harris just basically got a clean roll to the rim, got an easy make. This is a mistake rookies make. This is something that happens when you're a rookie point guard and learning this and learning how to kind of be aware in all these circumstances. But that's where Colin is right now. It's going to take a lot of time for him to get better, to get good, to figure some of this stuff out. And I do think a summer in the gym working on his game and summer getting stronger and bigger and just more filling out his frame is really, really going to help him in the long run. I don't think when we go through the rest of the year, much of these critiques are going to change. You hope that we keep seeing improvement, I think, for the Cavs. But I think right now that Colin has these limitations and he's going to have to kind of find ways to adapt to them. Overall, the offense ended up not being good. An effective field goal percentage of 42.4%. That's in the 5th percentile of the league. Offensive rating of 104.3. That's a little below their season mark, which is already one of the worst 10 in the league. So not good. We did get some weird Jordan Clarkson solo moments in this game too, where he just goes really kind of out of control. When Jordan Clarkson is playing like this, it's a guy that just has much less value in the context of this league. He just was kind of careless in these situations, and overall an inefficient night for him. He did lead the team in scoring with 19 points, but it took him 16 shots to get there. He was 1-6 from three. You know, no two assists and no turnovers is fine, but he doesn't move the ball that well. Rodney Hood in this game struggled too. 1-6 from the field, 1-2 from three. Had a nice catch and shoot three, and had his one assist was, I think, the best assist of the night. It was a really nice bounce pass to Larry Nance Jr., but another tough game for Rodney Hood, who could be, maybe only have one game left for the Cavs, but we'll see how this week goes for him and if he gets traded or not, and if he approves that trade because of how his contract is set up. And lastly, in the bad, I don't think Matthew Dellavedova is all that healthy right now. He has a ton of ice on his feet when he comes out of the game. He is just not making shots right now. He's not moving all that well. He's obviously not an uber athletic guy anyway, but I don't think you're seeing a guy who is good and has a functioning fully body right now. I think he could use some time off over the All-Star break. I think he's just a little banged up. He obviously was banged up before he came over to the Cavs again when he was with the Bucks this year. And he's going to have to kind of, I think, get healthy if he's going to really kind of help the team. I like the way they're pairing him off. I like the kind of situations he's playing in, but there's stuff that really could be better there. And I think his health really is a part of it. And I think this team needs to get healthy before we can kind of evaluate all of it. So that is going to be it for the second segment there. You're going to hear from Larry Drew talking about Kevin Love and what he could have provided. The latest we have on Kevin Love is that he likely will not play Tuesday, according to Larry Drew. Pre-game, he said that Love is not going to be back. And until he knows what game Kevin Love is going to be back, he is not going to plan anything around Kevin Love. So until he gets like a firm date, and maybe they have one internally they're not disclosing, it's possible they could have something there. But until the medical staff and Kevin Love tells Larry Drew that he's coming back on X date, he's not going to really game plan to be there. So as of right now, he's preparing as if Kevin Love will not play Tuesday against Boston, which is the last game before the trade deadline. So take that for what you will. But here is Larry Drew talking about Kevin Love, as well as offering his update on Jetty Osmond. And we're going to be back to talk about Luka specifically. Stay tuned.
Chris Manning, SB Nation. Any update on Jetty and his ankle?
I have not spoken to our medical yet. I know he did turn it, in the first half, and they, told me he would not be back for the rest of the game. I don't know the severity of the ankle. I'll find it out as soon as I leave you guys.
And then with in the second half, when things get out of hand a little bit, would that be a situation where having Kevin back and be able to just lean on him a little bit be something that would really help you guys?
Well, certainly, Kevin is, Kevin is our go-to guy. He's a guy that, when we need a basket, he's, most cases, he's the guy that we're going to go to. We haven't had it all year. And it'll be certainly when he's clear to play and clear to join us. It's going to be a big relief having him back because, he's been in that situation, enough times, and it's just always nice to have somebody that you can, post the ball to, you can play inside out with, you can give the ball to down low, and they can manufacture a shot, or if they're forced to where a team comes down and double team them, they can spray the ball out. So you're absolutely right. It'll be, it'd be nice to have it.
And we are back. Okay, so let's talk about Luka. We're not going to spend too much time on this because he plays for another team, but I'm just going to tell you that seeing him in person is really fun, and he is just incredible. Luka Doncic was by far the best player on the floor in this game. He was better than Jetty by a wide margin. He was better than Harrison Barnes by a wide margin, or whoever you want to say should be considered there. He's incredible. 33 minutes for him, 13-25 from the field, 4-8, 11 from three. He had 6 assists, 11 boards, just 2 turnovers, 35 points, 28 in the first half. Luka Doncic is what a transformative young player looks like. think about what Dallas was before they got Luka. So they'd paid Harrison Barnes a bunch of money. Dirk was getting older. They didn't really have much totally really going for them. They paid Wesley Matthews all this money. And then Luka comes in, and this isn't a team that's going to make the playoffs this year, but they are on the right trajectory. And yes, they get Kristaps, and that's going to help. And they're going to have a little bit of money to spend, and that will help them too. And they can rejiggle the roster and do some things. And Jalen Brunson looks like a real good NBA player, and from what I've seen of him. And it starts with Luka. He's the catalyst for all of this. He is this transformative guy at 19 that makes Dallas a franchise to watch because they got that one guy. And then if Kristaps is healthy, they got that second guy, and you continue rolling. But it starts with Luka because he is going to be the transformative piece. And you get that guy, and it changes everything. Cavs fans can go back to when they get LeBron back the second time, or when they drafted LeBron originally, when they get Kyrie, and that's what you need to sort of take this stuff to the next level. Yes, they gave up that second first round pick to get Luka, and yes, they just gave up more to get to get Kristaps, but there's something to be said, I think, to just getting that guy. There's something to be said of getting that guy and knowing that that's that guy and trusting that's that guy, because that guy will transform your franchise, excite your fan base, excite and make everyone else around them better. And it's, you cannot have the type of success all NBA teams, I think, want to have unless you get that player. And it's just clear, and just watching him, watching how the step back moves he has, watching the way he orchestrates offenses, watching the way he manipulates passing lanes in space and finds guys and is destroying people and is so smooth at 19 years old that Luka Doncic is that kind of transformative player. And in that number 77 jersey, he's going to be just carrying this Dallas Mavericks team for a long time and making them relevant for a long time. And if you're looking at this and saying, okay, why are you talking about Luka? Here's why. That is what the Cavs are trying to figure out right now. At 11-42, with this record that they have, with them not being all that good, the Cavs are in a position where they are trying to get that next young player. They are working to get their next franchise savior. They obviously, the Kyrie thing, they had him and he would be that guy if he was still on the team. LeBron was that guy, and that's why they won a title. With them being bad, with them playing, not really competing this year, with trying to get in the lottery, with trying to, get a chance at a guy like Zion, or maybe, RJ Barrett or Cam Reddish or whoever is going to be that guy for them, that is what the season is about, is getting you there to get that guy. There may only be one guy in the draft that is that. It could only be Zion, and I think it's very clear by watching him in college that he would be that guy, that you bring him in on day one, he's going to excite your fan base, excite your organization, and make your organization better. In all due respect to Kevin Love, he's going to help that next guy, but he's just not that guy anymore. I don't think that's what Kevin Love is at this point. I think he can be a really good second piece for them moving forward, but they need that young dynamic guy to really be that. The other thing about Luka in this game is that I think, maybe I think about this and I don't know how much I'm really thinking it, but maybe the reason that we're looking at Luka, who, as Larry Nance said, is just so poised in control already, and is just everything you'd want in a young star. It's maybe why I look at Sexton a little bit more harshly in this game than it would. I have to remember that Colin Sexton is very young, that his body's still developing, all these things. Luka has been a pro since 15, played at Real Madrid in the second best league in the world. It doesn't help Sexton in viewing Sexton almost, because you're watching him play on the same floor as a guy that was picked three picks in front of him, who probably should have gone number one, and is the best player on the floor already, where Sexton was really struggling a lot in this game. That being said, I think we do know to some degree that, like, what Colin Sexton's going to be, barring big improvements, is he's going to be maybe part of this rebuild. And Jetty isn't to this degree, too. Neither of those guys are going to lead the next generation of the Cavs. They need their own Luka. They need to find that guy that they believe can transform them. Maybe it can be something more like the Paul George Pacers, where like it is this collective unit, and maybe it's not just one guy that's kind of carrying everything. I think for the Cavs' sake, and the sustainability of the of them having success. You don't want it to have to be based around one guy. You need to support that guy, but it starts with that special player, and then you go from there. And I think you saw what it looks like to have that on Saturday, and you saw what it looks like to not have that with the Cavaliers. So that is going to be it for today's show. We are going to be back on Monday to look at Colin Sexton a little bit more, and then what to watch for this week as we get into the trade deadline and getting closer to All-Star Weekend. If you have questions you want answered in the next mailbag show, which will be with Trevor Magnotti, our draft guru, in a draft-specific mailbag, you can submit those on Twitter right now to @LockedOnCavs or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. A 5-star review on Apple Podcasts does guarantee that your question does get answered. And at Fear the Sword, please check out David Zavok's recap of the game, and then you can check out my 2-for-1 where I wrote about Nwaba, Jetty, and Colin Sexton. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Locked On Cavaliers for Sunday, February 3rd. I am Chris Manning. Find me on Twitter and Facebook @CWMWrights. Talk to you on Monday.